Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek and I have something that I want you to hear. Are you ready? We are ringing the bell because today is a special day. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is a day that we reflect on the love with Jesus, which
Wow, your words are just coming out there.
You can tell I've been away, right? The love with which Jesus has for us. Oh, man, Frank Eliason, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Welcome back.
It's great to be back in the studio. It's a shame my mouth is not working this morning. We're going to talk. We're missing Dave Parker today.
We are.
We are Parkerless.
We are Parkerless. I like that new terminology. We'll have to, utilize that. But no, he's resting that knee up. He was getting a quick procedure yesterday for it. So hopefully he is all feeling well and just sitting there enjoying the show.
That's
right. Because we know he sits and listens.
I know. And I know we're going to be hearing from him soon. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in today. We got a great show for you today. I will talk a little bit more about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Also, we will be joined by author Chris Wesley, who has written a book called Rebuilding Confirmation, Because We Need More Than Another Graduation. This is an amazing book, and I really think you're going to enjoy some of what Chris has to say. Also, our friend Brian Mercier will be here. Brian has written a book, Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers. He is joining us today. Actually, Brian is pinch-hitting for Dan Burke, who is on pilgrimage in Spain right now. Dan is in Avila, Spain. So Brian was kind enough to say, okay, I'll come in, fill the slot. So it works out great. So we're going to have a great show for you today. Let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us another day. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the many gifts that you've given us, especially the gift of life. You have created us because you love us. And Father, we turn to you today, and in response to that love, we say to you, Father, use us. Use us for whatever you need. Use us to bring people closer to you. Help us to share your love with all those around us today. We lift up those who are hurting in any way this morning. Those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are battling addictions. We lift them up and we ask you to bless them, to help them, to draw them close to you, and please use us to reach out to those people. Father, I ask you to speak through us on the program today. Let your message go out through our voices and our lips, and please open our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to your message. We ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, it's great to be back in the studio with you. Got in from Cleveland yesterday afternoon, and it's always more fun to be in the studios of Holy Spirit Radio. It's just a great blessing that I can be here to start my day with you, and I thank you for listening to us
and
each morning.
And it's a blessing to be here with you.
Really? Thank you.
I just took words right out of your mouth.
You did. I don't expect that. I expect the insults. I expect the you busting on me. But Frank, you're very nice to say that. Thank you. It's a blessing to be here with you as well. Today I did want to mention a couple of things. Oh, wait a minute. Just in from Dave Parker. Hi, guys. Yes, I am here. Welcome back, Gary. Sounding great. All right. So Dave Parker is listening. We can always count on Dave to be here with us. Not always physically, but in spirit, to say the least. Now, today I mentioned today's the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is a big deal. This is a solemnity which is the highest holy day of the church. There's certain different degrees of holy days. We have solemnities, we have feasts. Today is a solemnity, and we celebrate the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, just briefly, I will link to this on spiritinthemorning.com, but this from EWTN is a little explanation about the Sacred Heart. Devotion to the Sacred Heart, as we know it, began about in the year 1672. On repeated occasions, Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, a visitation nun in France, and during these apparitions, he explained to her the devotion to his Sacred Heart as he wanted people to practice it. He asked to be honored in the symbol of his heart of flesh. He asked for acts of reparation, for frequent communion, communion on the first Friday of the month, and the keeping of the holy hour. Now, there's a lot more in this article that I'm not going to mention, but I will link to it at spiritinthemorning.com. Here's the thing we need to remember. Jesus has a human heart, and his heart can feel hurt. His heart can also feel joy. So when we love Jesus by doing things for him, by telling him we love him, it makes him feel good. On the other hand, when we turn against him, when we sin, when we ignore him, it hurts him. It's hard for us to imagine that we can actually make Jesus feel good or hurt him. The choice is ours to make. So today, let's do something. And again, read about the devotion to the Sacred Heart. Go to Mass today if you can. It's very important. It's going to make him feel good. And he cares. You know, if everybody in the world, and I've said this before, I think I've written this in one of my books, I know I've spoken about it, if everybody else in the world love Jesus and responded to his love. All right, let's take a look at the gospel today. And this, again, this is a solemnity, so we have special gospel today. And I think it's a message for each of us. I think I want you to pay attention to this gospel message and listen to what Jesus is saying here. And this gospel today for the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." This is the message for you today as you're driving to work, as you're listening at home, wherever you are, and you're struggling with all kinds of problems. As you're struggling, and as you're feeling hopeless, and as you don't know where to turn, make that decision today to turn to Jesus, to accept his offer. He didn't say, "Come to me, and I'm going to make you suffer. I'm going to give you pain." He didn't say that. He said, "I will give you rest." Does that mean you won't have suffering in life? No, it doesn't mean that. But the peace of Christ, that rest that he wants to give you, that can coexist even with the greatest suffering. But we've got to make that decision. We talked a lot on the show about today is the day. Today is all we have. Make the most of today. So today is that day for you to make that decision, to say, "You know what, Jesus? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the suffering by myself. I'm sick of floundering in this life. I don't want to feel depressed anymore. I don't want to feel lonely. I don't want to feel hopeless. So Jesus, today, take control of my life. Take control of my life and give me that rest you promise." Frank, there's an answer.
Wow.
Right? I mean, there is an answer.
There is. And, you know, I do think that it is each and every day and living for that day and doing the right things. You know, but it's hard. It's hard to do it, you know. Now you're messing with things. It's
I am.
Funny.
I am.
It's kind of amusing. I was watching my, you know, I see myself in what I was doing. I'm getting texts to stop touching things, and then I'm staring at you. So, you know, I think it is extraordinarily difficult to, you know, live for that day and to do the right things each and every day. You know, I talked about it the other day when you weren't here, which was, you know, be inspired by the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be inspired by, you know, what they're doing and how they do things, you know, and take from that. What can I learn? What can I do? Because, you know, I get humbled by people like yourself who can go and, you know, you go speak, you know, you've left your secular world to then, you know, really follow your heart and follow, you know, Jesus. Not many people can do that. And, you know, and so I think there's ways we can get inspiration around us. Sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's silly things that can help inspire us. You know, I was watching one of those Facebook videos that are out there, you know, what I like to call link bait, clickbait. You know,
right.
But it wound up being an inspiring thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I wish I could live my life like that. And it was about this woman who founded the Ronald McDonald House.
Right.
And it was one of those things I got caught up this morning with. It was kind of fascinating.
Well, first of all, that's very nice of what you said. Thank you. And you inspire me, and the people at the station inspire me, because we're all it's very obvious to see when you spend time at the station. That's why I like to be here. Everybody here is here because they're trying to grow closer to the Lord, and they're trying to bring Him closer to our listeners. That's what we're here for. We inspire one another.
Not me. I'm just here to play.
You're just
wires
here to play with the wires and break things, right? but seriously, keep that in mind. And I was talking to the Lord on the way up today as I was driving in, saying, Lord, you know what? Take over my life. Believe me, trust me. As you listen to me out there, understand that I don't have it all together, and I'm working each day to try to grow closer to Jesus. And there are a lot of areas in my life that I need to yield control to the Lord. So do that today. Let's do it together. Let's say, Lord, take over our lives. Jesus, take the wheel. We play that song sometimes on the program, and let's go with it. Let's together get through life, and let me get closer to you. Now, coming up on the show in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Chris Wesley. He is an author. He has written a book called Rebuilding Confirmation. And I think you're going to be really interested to hear what he has to say. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 23rd. Today we celebrate Saint John Fisher. John Fisher was a man of learning and influence who spent much of his life surrounded by the powerful people of his day. He served his church as a priest, bishop, and cardinal. He took special interest in raising the standard of preaching in England and was an accomplished preacher and writer himself. His 8 books against heresy gave him a leading position among European theologians. In 1527, he was asked to study the issues surrounding Henry VIII's marriage to Catherine of Aragon and the king's desire to divorce her and marry Anne Boleyn. Fisher defended the validity of the king's first marriage and rejected Henry's claim to be the supreme head of the Church of England. Enraged, the king summoned him to take the oath of allegiance to the new act of succession. The cardinal refused, on the grounds that the act presumed Henry's divorce was legal and that his claim to be head of the English church was valid. Charged with high treason and condemned to death, John Fisher was executed in 1535. His body was left to lie all day on the scaffold, and his head hung on London Bridge. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Joe DeFinis of DeFinis Insurance and Financial Group, an exclusive agency with Nationwide, providing auto, home, life, and commercial insurance, located in Roxborough, with offices in Montgomery and Delaware counties. Joe can be reached at 215-483-4040. That's 215-483-4040.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Seems like
could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be.
And that was Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. I'm Gary Zimak, and you're listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:19. So how do you feel about your confirmation program at your parish? Are you satisfied with it? Do you see something lacking? Well, my next guest has written a book called Rebuilding Confirmation, Because We Need More Than Another Graduation. Christopher Wesley is a youth ministry coach, and he's a consultant with Marathon Youth Ministry. He's the former director of student ministry at the Church of the Nativity in Timonium, Maryland. He serves as the president of the Uncuffed Ministries Board of Directors in Baltimore, Maryland, and he's also the author of Rebuilding Youth Ministry. He writes content for DownloadYouthMinistry.com, and you can find him online at ChristopherWesley.org. Chris Wesley, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, man, I think this is a fantastic topic. Confirmation, rebuilding confirmation. In your book, in the introduction, you state that when you, after your confirmation mass, you were so happy to have no more religious education, no more workbooks, no more memorize this and memorize that. You were done. Chris, I think that's all too common with confirmation. It's almost looked at as a graduation. And let me ask you, whose problem is this?
Oh, it's all of ours.
Right.
Faith is a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is a part of a community. It's a part of the family. And, you know, I think one of the problems that we've had with confirmation is that we're so quick to point the finger.
Right.
And instead of stacking hands.
Right. Now, you mention in the book, and you bring up so many good points here, and we can only touch on some of them. You said instead of seeing confirmation as an end to something painful, we should look at it as the beginning of something amazing. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that pretty much comes from, you know, the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is standing there and saying, okay, go, and I'll see you when you guys want to get married or you know, have a kid and want to get baptized.
Somebody. Right.
He's like, no, go, therefore make disciples. The disciples spent like 3 years of intense, you know, discipleship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they're commissioned to go and change the world. And, you know, Jesus equips them. He sends them the advocate, the Holy Spirit, and wants them to be witnesses throughout the world. And there's no, like, end game to that. And for some reason, you know, in confirmation, you know, we celebrate that moment. But then at the same time, we're just kind of like, okay, there's no next step.
Right.
And that's the biggest gap, I think, that churches, or the biggest question that churches need to answer is, what's the next step for the next generation or for anyone receiving confirmation?
Now, you realize, I'm sure, that this is a pretty radical message, and there are some people listening right now saying, well, wait a minute, how do I know this is going to work? What we do works. Mm. You've seen success in your
yeah.
life, right? You this is a proven method.
Yeah, so what's talked about in the book is my story at Church of the Nativity in Timonium, and we were seeing a lot of fruit from the work that was put in. One thing I do want to warn, and I don't know how well it was clarified in the book, but you know, this program took me years to build. I mean, there's a lot of trial and error,
right,
and everything. And I think there's a lot of aspects, and I've learned this through the coaching that I've done. There's a lot of aspects and principles and tools that you can take from the book and apply it to your ministry. But really, there are a couple things that the local church needs to do on their own to create their own program. And I'm not denying the fact that there are probably a lot of churches out there who do have successful confirmation
mm-hmm.
programs. And if that's the case, they don't need to change it to the one that I share in Rebuilding Confirmation. But as long as they're answering that question, what do we want our young disciples to do next? What are we setting them up for? Then I think they're going to be able to really craft a confirmation preparation that will not only celebrate the sacrament, but equip these teenagers and their families for the next stage.
You know, one of the things that you address in your book, one of the myths that you address in your book, is that teenagers just don't care. They just don't care about their faith. They don't care about confirmation. What would you say about that? I mean, you've worked with young people. Is that true?
No, it's not true. I mean, if kids did not care or were not passionate about something, then they wouldn't be on Instagram sharing the things that they care about. They wouldn't be on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, any social media platform. I mean, students really do care. They wouldn't be joining groups or clubs if they didn't care about something. And they do care about being a part of a community. They do care about being a part of some kind of change. They're just looking in all the wrong places, and they're looking for something solid. And we know as Catholics that that's found in truth, that's found in Jesus Christ, in our faith. The problem is we as adults, we as the church, sometimes get in our own way.
Right.
And we're almost like fire hydrants of information and displaying their heads, and we talk about the what, but never the why. Or we talk about the how, but we talk about the how in a way that seems like a literal leap of faith. And so we have to figure out ways of explaining the why sharing how we've done it personally, how we've failed as well as how we've succeeded in growing in our own faith. And I think that's a way of driving the passion that teenagers do have back towards the church.
That's so good to hear, because when I have to be honest with you, Chris, I went through 12 years of Catholic school. I was confirmed. I didn't care. I just didn't care. But, you know, at some point in my life, I realized that Jesus Christ is a real person. He wants to be my friend, and he can bring me peace and help me get to heaven. And at that point, I was interested, and I said, all right, Lord, show me who you are. And you know, if you approach young people in that same way and really meet them where they are, they're going to be receptive. They're going to want to know Jesus.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing that you touched upon, and I think this is something we can't emphasize enough to not just teenagers, but to anyone, is to pursue God, to pursue Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there. He's found us. He knows us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should never stop pursuing him. And there's going to be points where we're going to wrestle with that. And there's going to be points where it's going to click and make sense. And those are great, awesome moments, moments that we as a church have to help teenagers celebrate so that they can see how faith is so important to living a life that's full.
In the 2 minutes that we have remaining, just let me ask you briefly, why does confirmation matter?
Well, confirmation matters not just because it's a sacrament. I mean, and that's a huge reason. I could just say it because it's a sacrament. But the reason it matters is it's a moment to show the teenagers that God has a huge calling for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily to be a priest or a youth minister or a missionary in the church, but that when they look at the next chapter of their life, whether it's going to business or the medical field or, you know, working, you know, across the seas, that God's calling them to be a witness to their faith. And confirmation, I think, is that perfect opportunity to clarify that. And so if we can you know, clarify that in confirmation, and then build a strong foundation in our children's and our youth faith formation. Because right now, that's another huge problem. If we don't have a strong youth ministry or a strong children's ministry, the efforts we put into confirmation are going to fall short.
I totally agree. The book is Rebuilding Confirmation Because We Need More Than Another Graduation, from Ave Maria Press, by Christopher Wesley. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Hey, Gary, thanks for having me, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. And you can follow Chris online at ChristopherWesley.org. We're going to have his information linked at SpiritInTheMorning.com. And he, you know, even if you read the book and get a few ideas out of it, if you're somebody who is responsible for a confirmation program in your parish, it's going to be worth it. He really does a good job with this book. Check it out, Rebuilding Confirmation. When we come back from break, we're going to be joined by Brian Mercier to talk about Why Do You Believe in God? Stay tuned.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A newly released 142-page Republican bill to replace President Obama's Affordable Care Act has been released, setting off an intense debate within the GOP's Senate caucus. Democrats are firmly aligned against it, so the challenge Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell faces is to avoid defections in his own ranks. The proposal, weeks in the making, would slash the Medicare program, expand tax-free health savings accounts, and repeal almost all Obamacare taxes, although the legislation has already changed a great deal since its inception and will likely be amended many times over in the weeks to come. A judge has temporarily halted the deportation of more than 100 Iraqi Christians living in the Detroit area, all of whom fear torture and possible death if sent back to Iraq. U.S. District Judge Mark Goldsmith yesterday halted their deportation for only 14 days while he decides if his court has jurisdiction to hear their plight. Most of the 114 Iraqis are Chaldean Christians, although some are Shiite Muslims and converts to Christianity, although, according to the American Civil Liberties Union, fear torture and death in Iraq, which has so far agreed to accept them. And a California court this week dismissed 14 of 15 criminal charges against an undercover journalist behind the video exposé of Planned Parenthood's role in the fetal tissue trade. The Catholic News Agency reports that, although Sandra Merritt still has to reckon with one charge of conspiracy to invade privacy, this nevertheless represents a major win for the activist who in March was charged along with her colleague David Eliden with 14 criminal counts as they worked to reveal the role of Planned Parenthood clinics and tissue harvesters in the trade of fetal tissue of aborted children. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
Hello, friends. The message of Our Lady of Fatima is more relevant today than ever before. I'm Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy, and I look forward to joining Jeanette Bankovic as we unpack the mystery of this important prophecy. Join us at the upcoming Women of Grace retreat themed Our Lady of Fatima and the Triumph. How will the battle be won? Being held at Malvern Retreat House July 7th through 9th. Visit womenofgrace.com or call 1-800-558-5452 for details.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When Laura Story was caring for her husband Martin in the aftermath of his brain surgery, she had virtually no time to do anything else, including go to church. Well, as a result, the church came to her. During a Christopher Close-Up interview about her book, When God Doesn't Fix It, she told me, "We had people that did everything from bringing us meals to helping sit with Martin through the night so I could get some rest. And people would go to our home and literally clean our toilets." Laura concluded, "It was amazing to see the hands and feet of Jesus coming around and serving us. I think the lesson to be learned is that God never created us to live as Lone Ranger Christians. It's about experiencing the love of Christ through each other." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. When sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
My one.
girl, how I need you.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Lord, I Need You by Matt Maher. I'm Gary Zimek, and it's great to be with you here today. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast for the Delaware Valley. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 76 degrees today. Showers and thunderstorms mainly before 1 p.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall, so be careful out there. We're going to have a high near 86 degrees tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 3 a.m. We'll have a low around 74. Saturday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before noon. Then a chance of showers. Oh boy, sounds like a good couple of days. And we'll have a high near 86. Well, we're glad that you are with us today. We are also glad to be joined by our friend Brian Mercier. You can find Brian online at Catholic Brian, BRYAN.com. Brian Mercier, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary.
Oh, by the way, did I get that right? Is it .com or .org?
It's .org.
Oh, I apologize for that. CatholicBrian.org. Brian, I was telling you the other day, I was having lunch with a friend, and he is having trouble with his son who said, I no longer believe in God. But he heard you on the program, some of your explanations, and he said, I like that. This guy gave me something to say to my son. So on behalf of my friend Roger, I want to thank you for what you do, Brian.
And I want to thank you for giving me the platform to get this good news out to as many people as possible.
I'll tell you, Brian, you really see things from the point of view of someone who doesn't believe in God, or at least who says they don't believe in God, because you've been there and you know what it's like.
Well, I've always believed in God, but I've, like everybody, I've struggled.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that I can I understand where people are coming from so clearly is because I've talked to so many of them. And I don't just listen to people with my ears. I listen also with my heart.
Mm.
I try to feel and I try to understand where they're coming from. The pain, the suffering they're going through, the doubts, the struggles. I try to empathize with it all. And in doing so, I think I have a pretty good grasp on why people don't believe in God. Not to mention that I've heard thousands and thousands of reasons why God doesn't exist over the years from all of these atheists, agnostics, skeptics, and people who have fallen away from the church.
Well, let's talk about some of these conversations as detailed in your book, Why Do You Believe in God? You had an encounter with somebody who said, I don't believe in God. You politely responded, why not? The response you got back was, because I don't believe in things I can't see. Where do you go with that?
Well, there's a few different directions, but I said, do you believe in aliens? And I was just curious. And he said, yeah, I believe in aliens. I said, well, how come? He said, well, the universe is so infinitely vast, there has to be something out there besides us. And I said, really? I said, have you seen any aliens? He said, no, I haven't. But, you know, chances are they're in our favor just because there's billions and billions of universes out there. And I politely said, but I thought you said you didn't believe in things you can't see. And he's like, oh, touche.
Wow.
And I could have brought up other things, too, like the Holocaust. I could have brought up gravity. There's a lot of things we can't see that still exist.
And really what happens is by you doing this, you make the person realize, you make them stop and think, because a lot of times we all fall into this trap of just not thinking about what we're saying, or we're just very narrow-minded.
That's exactly right. And I think the professional apologist will ask a lot of questions to people, because a lot of people are atheists for all different sorts of reasons, and we have to understand why they're atheist and where they're coming from. And just sometimes asking a really good question, like, you know, why don't you believe in God? That really helps you to understand and pinpoint their reasons, and then you can actually get to the heart of it all rather than just guessing.
Right. Now, you talk also in the book about a conversation that you had with a young woman who was at one of your retreats, I believe.
Yes.
And you asked, how do you like the retreat so far? She responded with, I hate it. Now, Brian, to be honest with you, I might have gotten really discouraged at that point and said, oh, well, sorry. But you went further.
Yeah, I did. And if you had seen this girl that I had seen, you probably would have probed a little deeper, too.
Wow.
This young lady was dressed all in black. she looked like death. I mean, she just looked like she was in a complete comatose state perpetually. Mm-hmm. And I felt really bad for her. I could tell there were some deeper issues going on.
Yeah.
And so I said, why don't you believe in God? And she's like, because I don't. And I said, okay, well, why? And she repeated, well, because I don't. I said, you said that, but if you're going to not believe in God, you have to have some evidence for it. You have to have some reasons. And she said, she looked at me and she said, to be honest, I think you Christians are stupid. I think you're all brainwashed. I think you've bought this stuff that's not true.
Yeah.
And I said, really? I just presented to you 45 minutes of logical deductive proofs for the existence of God. And what did you think about those? She's like, I don't know. I just don't believe in God. I just think you're brainwashed. I'm like, but we just gave you 45 minutes of proof, and you can't even give me one good reason why you're an atheist, and you think we're brainwashed? And she said, well, I still don't believe. And I have to be honest that that is the majority of quote-unquote atheists that I talk to today.
Right.
Many of them don't know why they're atheists. It's more of a hurt. It's more of a pain. It's more of a, I just reject God because I can't see him working in my life. And those that is a whole different type of horse that you have to deal with in a whole different type of way.
And yet it's interesting when you probe with some questions and you, I mean, I guess basically what you're doing is you're trying to get them to further explain what's really going on inside, because I don't believe in God isn't always what's really going on inside of that person.
That's exactly right. As I say in my book, it could be a lot of reasons. Someone could have been really hurt. They could have been emotionally, physically, sexually abused, any of that sort of thing. They could have had some family trauma. And some people just stop believing in God cold turkey. Mm. Others, they really wrestle with the fact that God's not helping them, quote unquote, in their life. Mm-hmm. And they slowly fade away. And so you have to get to the root of their struggle. They just don't. They can't comprehend how God can be loving and powerful and not be helping them. And when I'm able to come into their life and say, here's how God helps you, they're much more willing to give him a second chance.
Without a doubt. And now also you talk about a conversation you had on social media, which can really be, I mean, anymore, social media can be a very tricky place because you have got so much. Anger, really, on both sides, especially when you start bringing up God. But you had a conversation with somebody, and they said to you, God is not real. And I love your response. You said, you sound so sure. Can you prove that, and can you give me evidence to back up your statement?
Yeah.
And that's really a great response.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so the person went on to say, you cannot prove a negative, but you can prove a positive. So go ahead, Brian. Prove to me that God is real.
See, this is the atheist tactics. I mean, the militant atheist will come out today and they'll say, you know, God's not real. And I'll say, can you prove that? And they'll say, well, you can't prove a negative, but you can prove a positive. So go, prove God. And I say, well, no, hold on. You know, you're the one who made the first statement that God isn't real, so you have to back that up with some sort of evidence. And as you know from the chapter, he could not do it.
Yeah.
You know, he said, well, look at all the suffering in this world. You look at all the cancer. Why would God let that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, your statement was that God's not real, not that God's not good. You know?
Mm.
And I said, you have to prove that God's not real. There's lots of reasons why suffering could exist. I mean, could it be that most humans are the reason for suffering, that we bring suffering into people's lives more than God?
Mm.
Could it be that God has a greater purpose of suffering, that it will help us to get to heaven? I mean, there's a thousand reasons why God could allow suffering, but none of them prove that he doesn't exist. So try again.
Wow. The book is Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers by our guest, Brian Mercier. Brian, you're giving us some really good ideas. And I'm so glad you're a regular guest on this program. But before I let you go, we have about a minute left. I want to ask you, while it's true that you're giving us many ideas about how to deal with our children and our coworkers and people we run into who say, I don't believe in God, he's not real, whatever the case, and we really appreciate your ideas, how important is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to you and to us when we get into one of these conversations?
We absolutely have to have a prayer life, and we absolutely have to have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who tells us, if we're listening, when to speak, how to speak, sometimes what this person's really going through, and sometimes if we shouldn't speak and if we should just love the person instead.
Yeah, and I would imagine you're praying before, during, and after these conversations?
Yes, pretty much.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us once again. CatholicBryan, BRYAN.org is the place to go. Brian, you do retreats, you do parish missions, you do talks, right? We can bring you to our churches if we'd like.
Yes, you can, and you can. I can do trainings to help you evangelize and do apologetics as well, and that can all be found on my website.
That is awesome. Would love to. One of these days, Brian, we have to meet in person. We have never actually met in person. I'd love to get together and chat with you.
I would love that. I look forward to that.
All right, Brian. Thanks again for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. God bless you,
my
friend.
All right, God bless you.
That's Brian Mercier. You can find him online at CatholicBryan, BRYAN.org. Check out his site, check out the great resources he offers, and check out the book, Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers. When we come back, it's the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Servo. In Matthew 6:7, Jesus tells his disciples that when they pray, they are not to babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, he says. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs before you ask Him. Well, what about the rosary and the litanies? Don't these qualify as the babbling of many words? Not at all. They aren't babbling. To babble is to make incoherent noises. The prayers we repeat with the rosary are quite coherent. This is true of litanies as well. But more than that, they are ways of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. The Lord never tires of hearing all the many ways we have of expressing this. We don't pray to inform God of anything. We pray to express what matters most to us, that He matters most, that we need Him, that we are sorry for our offenses against Him, and that we are grateful. Amen. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Drive by T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Cause God is holding.
How do you feel now? Do you feel inspired? That's Overcomer by Mandisa. Don't quit. Don't give in. You can do this. Remember, no matter what you're facing, keep on going. Let's look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. No need to be afraid. Listen to what Jesus has to say today. This is Luke 12:22. Jesus said this to his disciples. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. Jesus is not saying don't do anything. Don't go out and try to make money. Don't go out and try to buy clothes. He's not saying that. What he's saying is do not worry about it. Now, there's a huge difference there. At some point in life, we're going to have to make a decision to trust Jesus or to not trust him. Take it from somebody who's been on both sides of the fence. If you trust him, you're going to have a lot more peace in life. But remember this, it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. But just today, try to make an effort to trust him a little bit more. And if you're struggling with that, if you can't trust him, say this, Lord, I can't trust you. Help me to trust you more. Just get used to asking for help. He is not going to say no. So there you have it, your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. That comes from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. Haven't talked about the book in a while. If you want to find out more about that book or all my books, you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com. Now, let's see, how much time do we have left here? It's 7:53. I do want to talk about some of the local programs that will be appearing on Holy Spirit Radio today, because we've got lots of great local shows. But before I do that, I want to point out some of our guests for next week. On Monday, we're going to be joined by Joe Zimmerman. He's the president of Summers and Zims. You hear their spots throughout the day on Holy Spirit Radio. They're one of our underwriters. Joe has got a great story, and we're inviting him into the studio. He's going to share a little bit about his story and also why Catholic radio is important to him. And also on Monday, Father Jim Sitchko is going to be back with us. We're going to talk with him. He is a very interesting story. He's a diocesan priest from the Diocese of Louisville, Kentucky, but he is also a full-time evangelist. So he goes out and travels around the country spreading the good news. Now, Tuesday, I'm excited about this guest, Bobby Schindler. He is, you probably know him, Bobby is the brother of Terry Schiavo. He's the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. He is a full-time pro-life advocate. I was talking to Bobby on the phone yesterday. He's going to be joining us to share a little bit about his work, and he's also going to be a regular guest on the program going forward. You're probably familiar with his work. He does some great work. He's going to be here with us on Tuesday. Dr. Greg Popchek will be here, as well as on Wednesday, Tom Price, the director of programming for EWTN Radio. Thursday, Marie Joseph will be joining us. Marie's been on with us before. She does some great pro-life work in the area. She's also going to be appearing on EWTN television, I believe, next week. She'll be telling us more about the following week. She'll be on At Home with Jim and Joyce, which is a great show on EWTN TV. We've got lots of good things planned for you next week, so I hope you'll stay tuned and let your friends know about Spirit in the Morning. Frank Eliason, remind us, if you could, again, about those programs, those local programs coming up today.
Yeah, at 11 o'clock today, we have the Kingsmen. So Mark Houck will be on at 11. Then at 4 o'clock, a very special Deacon Dialogues. And so you'll want to tune in for that. You know, there's basically a family is going to come in dealing with addiction.
Oh.
Yes, yes. It's going to be powerful Deacon Dialogues today at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, boy, we have some great programs on Holy Spirit Radio, Frank.
We do.
I mean,
I'm
not just saying that because I work here. We really do.
We do. We do. And I really think it's great. You weren't here the other day. I acknowledged all our, hosts and what they contribute, because it's really just some great people throughout, and really take the time to put these shows together in very interesting ways. And each show is a bit different.
Frank, the two people involved in these two programs, Mark Houck and Deacon Rich Napoli, both of these guys, I know them personally. They just inspire me so much. There were times when I'm driving home and I put the Kingsmen on with Mark Houck, and I was listening to Mark before I even got involved in ministry. The guy's just walking the walk.
He is. And if you think about it, you know, that was a leap of faith.
Oh my gosh,
to start the Kingsmen in the first place. And so I think it's extraordinarily powerful to have that happen. and to be willing to do that. And then you have Deacon Rich.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about atheists.
Yeah.
He was an atheist.
That's remarkable.
He is now a deacon. He has taken a path that is extraordinarily powerful and something we can all learn from.
Yeah, so keep your dial tuned to Holy Spirit Radio for these great programs. And, man, very, very inspiring shows. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, on this day when we celebrate the love that you have for us in your Sacred Heart, we give ourselves to you, Lord. We ask you to use us. To use us to make a difference in the world. Let us be a light shining in the darkness. And Jesus, we know that we can't do this without your help. So we ask for the grace that we need to be able to do this, to be able to serve you better, to be able to trust you, to be able to go out into the world and be that light shining in the darkness. Thank you for loving us, Jesus. And we ask for all of these things, for all of these needs that we have, we ask for them through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Frank, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Oh, thanks for having me around.
It's always fun.
Always fun. Any good plans for the weekend?
Besides rain? Yeah, besides rain. We were going to have some landscaping done, but I'm not sure that's going to be happening. So I think we're going to be indoors. Plenty of time to listen to Holy Spirit Radio, though.
That's right. Exactly. Right?
How about you? You got plans?
Wherever my wife tells me to go.
You're a smart man. Well, we want to thank you for tuning in. We want to thank Dave Parker for listening at home. Dave has been communicating with us throughout the show. We miss you, brother. Continue to rest up and get that knee better. And we ask everyone out there to please keep Dave and all of us at Holy Spirit Radio in your prayers. We're going to pray for you as well. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is right beside you. You know what to do. Turn around and say hi. This is Gary Zimak, and we thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.
This show is produced specially for you by Holy Spirit Radio.